Hey, good morning, Bedrock. So glad you guys could join us this morning for Church Online. Hey, we're really excited about this next series we're going to be walking through with you through Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known, well-loved, most quoted parts of the Bible. And the problem with that is when we start to become so familiar with a passage, we can have an idea that we've got all that it has to say, that we know everything that it's trying to tell us. And Psalms 23, though, is really like an old friend, one that you've had since elementary school, that suddenly tells you a story about their life that you've never heard before. And this is really what this passage is to us. It's something so familiar, yet there's so much depth to it. And so here's what I want you to do as we walk through this. Resist the urge to think that I've got this all figured out, that I've heard Psalm 23 enough. I can quote it. I can say it. I say it before bed every night to think that we have got this all figured out. And so there's nothing more for us here, because there is a world of depth here for us. One author called Psalm 23 a microcosm of God's grace. It's almost like the sun that's reflected in a single dewdrop. If you look close enough, you can see this beautiful reflection. And this is the way Psalm 23 is for us. If we look close enough at it, we can see really the reflection of God's grace and the gospel in this very familiar six verses. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to dive deep. We're going to break this apart and discover some truths that I think are very, very timely for us in the situation we find ourselves in today. So let's read Psalm 23 together. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Psalm 23. It's right in the middle of your Bible. David writes these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23, like I said, is pretty much right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. And it's surrounded, sandwiched in between two other psalms that I think give us very deep meaning into it. Psalm 22, if you turn over there, is clearly about the crucifixion of Christ, written 1,000 years before the events happen. And it starts with the same words that Jesus says on the cross. My God, why have You forsaken me? Psalm 24 speaks about the gates being lifted up. In that, the psalmist writes, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." This is clearly about the return of the King, the return of Christ that we're all waiting for. So where Psalm 22 takes us to Mount Calvary, Psalm 24 takes us to Mount Zion. And so in between is where we find ourselves today, really both spiritually and in real life. One author wrote, "The Savior's cross takes care of yesterday, the shepherd's crook takes care of today, and the sovereign's crown takes care of tomorrow." So let's take a minute and talk about the author of this psalm. As I said before, David is the one who wrote this. And I don't know about you, but I've never really seen a shepherd in real life. I kind of have an idea of what they look like based on TV shows that I've seen or cartoons that I've watched, but I don't know much about what it means to be a shepherd. We're first introduced to David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel's been asked by God to go anoint a new king, and he's sent to Jesse, which is David's father. Of course, David had many, many brothers, all older than he was. And so Samuel sits in the house as the brothers are kind of paraded before him. And none of them are brothers that God had chosen. It's very windy out here. So Samuel looks at Jesse and says, is that it? Is that all the family you've got? Are these all the sons you have? And Jesse says, no, I've got one more, but he's the youngest, and he's a shepherd. He's out with the sheep right now. Jesse says, hey, bring him in here. So, of course, he's brought before Samuel, and Samuel says, this is the king, and anoints him. David had an incredible life, and I think sometimes when we read the Psalms, when we read the Bible, we can forget about the real life that these people had, the men that wrote it had. David had this life that was full of very high highs and very low lows. In fact, David was not only was he anointed king by Samuel, but he killed Goliath in front of the whole Israelite army. And he had some lows. He lost a child in childbirth. He had another son named Absalom who wanted to take the throne from him and ended up being killed. So he had some really difficult, trying times. And somewhere in between those times, he wrote these words, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we have to realize that when David wrote these words, while we may not understand what shepherding is, this would have meant something very deep to David, because that's what he did before he was king. He was a shepherd. He knew all that went into shepherding. So let's take a minute and just take that one statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." We're just going to camp out there today, and we're going to break it apart word by word and just see the depth that this has for us. So first of all, he says the Lord. Now, we've mentioned this at Bedrock before, but if you look in your Bible, that word Lord is in what they call small caps. It's very important for us to understand that that means something. That's the English way of translating the personal name of God. Now, think back to Old Testament story with me. This is the name that God gave Moses when he was at the burning bush. So Moses has seen this bush, has gone up, has been told that this is holy ground, and God is speaking to Moses from this bush and telling Moses, you're going to go back to Egypt and you're going to help rescue the Israelites. You're going to free the people. And of course, Moses is back and forth with God, and he says, who am I going to say sent me? And God says this, I am who I am. This is Yahweh. This is the personal name of God, the covenant-keeping God. So David writes, hey, the Lord, not some name that points us to God, but the personal name of God is my shepherd. So basically he's saying, I am who I am is my shepherd. Now, most of the time when we think about the names of God, they kind of bring us to a sense of awe and wonder. Now, this name Yahweh has some deep meaning for us. This Lord that David uses here has some deep meaning for us. See, Yahweh means self-existent. It also means self-sufficient. Now, if you have kids, there's a question that every kid usually gets around to asking their parents, and it's, who created God? Hey, Dad, who created God? And of course, the answer is no one. God is self-existent. He has no beginning and no end, but he's also self-sufficient in that he doesn't need anything or anyone. In fact, the opposite is true. Everything and everyone needs him. I wonder if this isn't really one of our biggest problems as believers, especially believers who have been Christians and followers of Christ for a long time. I wonder if we don't spend enough time thinking about God, just thinking about who he is. I've said this before in different sermons, but what the first thing that comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. David starts this psalm off with Yahweh. He is my shepherd. This personal, intimate, self-existent, self-sustaining, self-sufficient God is my shepherd. When you think about God rightly, it tends to put everything else into perspective. I mean, all your circumstances tend to fall in line. In fact, it's very interesting. Paul tells us in Philippians 4 to think about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Now, think about those words. What is the one thing that encompasses all of those words? Yahweh, God. We're to think about God, to dwell on Him, His goodness, His character, who He is. And it puts everything that we go through in perspective. Now, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. So let's look at this little two-letter word, is. This has some meaning for us that we can pass over really easily. First, it implies existence, that God is, that we don't have to act like some agnostic people and kind of wonder, well, God might be, but no, He is. He exists. He is real. Second, and this is very, very cool for me, but second, this is a present tense term, that He is right now the shepherd. That David is saying, not that the Lord will be, or that the Lord promises to be, or He might be my shepherd. He's saying the Lord is my shepherd. It's a fact. It's something you can take to the bank. It's real life. It's right now. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the beautiful part of this passage. For He's my shepherd. He brings this big universe creating and sustaining God and brings Him into focus when He says, the Lord is my shepherd. If you think about this psalm, part of the depth of it is the personal pronouns it uses. Go ahead, count them up right now. In this psalm alone, how many personal pronouns are there? Well, I'll give you a hint. There's 28 personal pronouns here. I have a friend who always used to say to me, you can tell a lot about a person's character or a person's attitude by the pronouns they use. If you have kids, you've seen this firsthand. She's touching me. She's looking at me. He's doing this to me. There's a lot to discover about how a person is thinking by the pronouns that they're using. And we can all laugh at those because we've heard it before. And it's usually to the negative, but every once in a while, it's spun to the positive. Every once in a while, you'll hear your child say, oh, she gave me this, or he let me do this. And when we hear those words as parents, you know, our hearts are filled with joy and the world becomes bright again and we can say, I am not a failure, right? Everybody's with me on that one. Every one of those pronouns in Psalm 23 is a beautiful declaration that is for you. The Lord is my shepherd. That word my makes this psalm personal and intimate. It's for you. The Lord is your shepherd, personally, intimately. And lastly, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's a story of a tour group who was in Israel. And of course, in Israel, there's flocks of sheep. And so they had come across a large flock of sheep, about 200 or so sheep. And they all get out of the bus and they start taking pictures of these sheep. And the shepherd's standing there. And one of the members of the tour asked the shepherd, hey, do your sheep have names? Without hesitation, this shepherd turned around and started pointing at these sheep and naming them by name. An unbelievable picture of what a shepherd is. The Hebrew word for shepherd is derived from the Hebrew term for friend. You see, for sheep, the most important thing about the shepherd is his character. Now, you can have a shepherd with bad character and the sheep will suffer. Or you can have a shepherd with good character and the flock will thrive. In John 10, 14 through 15, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now remember the chapters that surround Psalm 23. And they speak to the character of this shepherd, the character of this Yahweh that we're talking about. that he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does. I read a story just this week about a man who was getting his start in the sheep business and had spent the night with a shepherd out in Texas. And all there was this young man, the shepherd, a couple sheep dogs, and about 2,000 sheep. And they had started this bonfire, and it was getting nighttime, and everything had kind of settled down. And then out of the darkness came the howls and the whines of coyotes that were close by. And of course, the dogs bolted up, and the shepherd stood up, and the dogs were barking out into the darkness. And the shepherd threw a couple logs on the fire to stoke it. And as the flame shot in the air, this young man looked out, and he saw the reflection of the fire in thousands of eyes looking right back at him. And he realized those sheep weren't looking out into the darkness. They were looking back at the shepherd. They were looking back to where their good shepherd was, the safety that they knew was there with him. What a beautiful picture of our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, this world's kind of been turned upside down recently. And this world is crying out, follow me, follow me, follow me. It's trying to shepherd us, but this world does not offer us anything that it can deliver on. There's only one good shepherd. And we're tempted to listen to the voice of this world. You may be being shepherded by the mainstream media. You may be being led by social media. You might be led by the economy or fear. Listen, guys, there's only one good shepherd worth following. The Lord is my shepherd. No one else is my shepherd. I will follow him. I can't tell you how many times this week I have personally had to quote that to myself because my heart is prone to wander. It's prone to go with these other voices, these other shepherds. But he is the good shepherd. He is the only shepherd. He's Yahweh, the God who created the entire universe, is my shepherd, the one who I can look to in times of trouble and know that I'm saved. Creation is a classroom. We've said this before, and the Bible encourages us to look to it as a classroom in many ways. We can look to the eagle for faith. We can look to the ant for diligence, and we're supposed to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves, but sheep are mentioned more than any other animal in Scripture. Point is, like sheep, we need a shepherd. We are a lot like sheep in many, many ways. We have to have a shepherd. It's the only way we thrive, to have that leadership. And we tend to go astray when we're left on our own. So, where are you? Are you being something other than Yahweh, someone other than the good shepherd? You see, this shepherd invites all of us to come and be a part of his flock, and you can do that today. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to come to the good shepherd and say, you know, I've been listening to other voices. I've been being led astray and willingly going. Maybe I need to come back to the good shepherd. I need to come back and submit to his leadership. Maybe today you're here and watching online and you think, you know what, I've never known this good shepherd. In fact, I would love to be shepherded by a good shepherd. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation, that Jesus Christ, Psalm 22, died for our sins, to take on the full wrath of God for us so that we might have a restored relationship with him, a personal relationship with him. And he's coming again. And that if we would simply turn and believe, if we would simply repent of our sin and say, and I can't do this, I trust in the work of Jesus, we too can be invited into the flock and be shepherded by this good shepherd. So today, at home, I want to ask you, if this is you, if this is where you are, I want to pray a prayer, and you just repeat with me at home. This isn't magic words. These aren't anything special, but it's just a way to call out to the shepherd. So if you want to come to know him today, pray these words with me. Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I know that I need you to shepherd me. I trust in the work that you did on the cross to die in my place that I might have a restored relationship with the Father. Come into my life. I give you everything I am. Make me like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us today online, I want to know about it. We want to celebrate with you and rejoice with you. And so we're just going to ask that you would email us at info@bedrockroanoke.com or just leave a comment. We would love to connect with you. I promise we will not come to your house. And if we do, we'll have a mask on. But we want to celebrate with you and get you started on this new walk, being shepherded by this great shepherd. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you back here next week for the next part of this verse 1 of Psalm 23.